Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also with me. And today, we want to comment more on what is happening with the COVID-19 crisis, which has come by the ordinance of God and for the benefit of His church. And great things are going to happen and are happening. You know, the softening of people's hearts is evident all around us, Bill. We're finding that there are conversions going on. We're finding that people are more and more open to the discussion of issues like disease, death, the fear of death, and the salvation, the hope that we have in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we see that people are somewhat opening up to the gospel message, and that's been encouraging. I think also we're seeing something of a strengthening of the body of Christ, a desire to reconvene and come together as the body, as the church. So a lot of positive things going on.
Yeah, in fact, I was talking to my former pastor, who's now pastor of a very large church, one of the larger churches in the country, and he said that, I said, I've been praying for you, asking how he is doing, and he said that he has seen more people come to Christ in the first quarter of 2020 than he did in all of last year. And he said, it's amazing to see how God is still being himself, as he put it. Yeah. And I just read this story in Cuba. Cuba Christians are using the need to wear sanitary masks in public to spread their faith. They're printing Bible verses on the front of the masks. Now, this is in a repressive, communist, officially atheistic country, and Christians there are spreading the gospel without even saying a word, because people have to look them on the mask.
That's pretty right? Creative.
And we're peeling the mask off atheism by wearing masks. Isn't that interesting?
It's happening in Cuba.
Yeah.
You know, if the Cuban Christians have the courage and the faith to just walk out in the middle of a communist country with a Bible verse right in the front of their face, Why not the rest of us?
Why not?
That's
creative. I mean, Christians reflect the nature of our Creator. We are creative in the way that we spread the gospel, and we should be. We should be very, very creative.
Here's a passage that came to my mind as we introduced this segment of the Generations Broadcast, Bill, and that comes from 1 Corinthians 1. We preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring not the things that are. That's pretty much a summary of what has happened in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ over 2,000 years, in every era, in every time and season in which the kingdoms of men rise and fall. And friends, the foolishness of the world governments have been increasingly unveiled as we see the fruitlessness of modern science, the fruitlessness of modern governments, and the fruitlessness of modern economies coming to a crux in our present day. I want to talk about this more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. There's been faulty data, and we have made some mistakes. Certainly, in shutting down the world economy. Talk about that next on the Generations Broadcast. Hey, dads and moms. Are you considering Christian discipleship for your children instead of the typical secular education model? Have you considered the Jesus model for discipleship? Dads and moms, think about this. Is there anything more important in this life than the decisions relating to how you educate or disciple your kids? Well, this week, Generations is featuring a 4-part video workshop free of charge and available to families all around the world. Now, if there was ever a time to reconsider the whole framework by which we are educating our children, I believe it's right now. So that's why the Generations Ministry presents the discipleship model. This is the heart and soul of our ministry, and we unfold this model in 4 unique video segments. It's called the Christian Curriculum Workshop, and you can access it now at generations.org front page. That's generations.org front page. And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with Bill Jack. And, well, 5 weeks ago, I made a mistake based upon faulty data. A pastor friend of mine came to me and said, man, we get a lot of numerators, but no denominators. And I thought, wow, he's right. And 5 weeks ago, we assumed a 2% death rate because that's what we were told for the COVID-19 virus. I said that the COVID-19 virus was something like 16 times worse than the flu. Well, it turns out Stanford University just completed a study to gain a denominator. They wanted to know, well, how many actually get the virus.
Right.
As in, you know, in order to get a 0.1% on the flu virus, we had to know how many actually got the flu to understand how deadly the flu was. Well, we didn't have that for COVID-19 until finally a team from Stanford University decided to test a group of people out of Santa Clara County, and I think it was something like 3,000 to 4,000 on the data set, so it was a pretty significant sampling. And it turned out that, and I just did the quick numbers because you just go on to the California numbers and find out what the death numbers were, divide by the number of people in Santa Clara County that have the disease, and sure enough, the death rate turned out to be 0.1%.
Yeah. Not 1%, not 2%, not 4%, 0.1%.
That's right. So it turned out that, well, the COVID-19 virus was like the flu. And friends, we press for an equal treatment. We press for an equal treatment under the law. We press for equal treatment of a disease, this disease versus that disease, under the law, equal treatment. Not being a preferer of persons, as the Word of God puts it, government and judges, legislators, governors have a responsibility for God to not be a preferer of persons, to be treating various diseases as equal under the law. Friends, that's essential. If you're going to be a wise governor, a wise leader in the political sphere, well, the whole world, turns out, has been subjected to a gigantic deception. But, Bill, what it turned out to be was a failure of science. And, of course, the media turning these things into a major panic. The media did everything they could to bring this about. But I think we see an increasing deconstruction of science. Today's world is incapable of distinguishing between real and fake science, just like they're having a hard time distinguishing between real news and fake news. They're having a hard time distinguishing between real science and fake science. They have a hard time determining the difference between saying, you know, the force of gravity exists because I dropped something 100 times to determine with a 99% probability that gravity exists, and the other form of science, which says, you know, turns out that I think maybe, yeah, I'm actually pretty sure. I'm absolutely 100% sure that a piece of rock turned into a human being by some kind of a chance development. We have no idea what the mechanism was, have no data for it. There absolutely is no constant data set in the fossil record. It's never been repeated in a laboratory, but trust me, a rock turned into a human being, and it happened by an evolutionary process that we can't define. Just trust me on this. That, my friends, is called science, and people who don't believe it are called fools by the modern scientific community. The modern scientific community has given way to almost complete irrationality. Don't trust them. Don't trust them. Don't trust them with global warming, and whatever you do, don't trust them with COVID-19.
Yeah. The pseudoscience of evolution has brought about more deaths and more despair than any other pseudo religion. And I talk about evolution as being a religion. It's a belief system. There is no data to support it. It is a pseudoscience. And what we're seeing here is the idea that science can solve our problems. But if science rests on a false assumption, then the solution is going to be false. And that's what we've been seeing. We don't have enough data, but we are drawing conclusions based on man's supposed wisdom as opposed to God's revealed word.
Right. Well, and don't underestimate the potential foolishness for nations that reject God.
They love death.
They do.
Yeah. Nations that hate God love death.
Mm-hmm.
We are seeing that here. We pour it into our eyes. We pump it into our veins. We rip it from our mother's wombs, and we celebrate it.
Mm-hmm.
We celebrate death.
These are nations that forget God. They don't fear God. And if the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, friends, we just don't trust them. We just don't trust them. And the humiliation to which the world economy has been subjected to is breathtaking at this point. It is a failure of science. I think it's a failure of science at a basic level. It's a failure of knowledge. And why do I say that? Because it's a failure to fear God. It is a capitulation to irrationality, God giving them up to a depraved mind. You know, even as this story from Santa Clara, the story from Stanford University broke last week, Fox News broke it, and other news outlets broke it. They forgot to mention the death rate. Isn't that interesting? In fact, to this date, they won't even talk about the death rate because they're embarrassed. They tried to prop up the narrative that this is very bad, worse than the flu by orders of magnitude. They focused on the fact that the incidence in Santa Clara County was 80 times what they thought it was, but they refused to talk about the death rate. They refused to headline the real story. Why? Because they have embraced irrationality, because this is a media event, because this is a new emperor's new clothes procession, and nobody wants to jiggle the narrative. Nobody wants to change the narrative at this point. They're overcommitted. They have destroyed the world economy. The media has destroyed the world economy. Not just the government, the media has, and they don't want to admit that it was a hoax. Nobody wants to admit it at this point. They don't want to take, oh yeah, the death rate turns out was 0.1%. They don't want to say that. That's not in the headlines right now.
There are media outlets and there are people in the media who are exposing that. You know, they're shining the light of truth on this.
I haven't seen it yet.
I've seen it with Fox News. Oh, Tucker Carlson, for example. Okay. He has been all over this.
Okay.
And
he has not made the headlines on FoxNews.com. That's
probably,
for sure.
Yeah.
But there's a few people who are saying, yeah, the emperor has no clothes, but the media just doesn't want to admit to this, my friends. Well, it was an attempt to destroy the world economy for perhaps the purposes of introducing heavy-handed totalitarian government. Well, that's obvious, right? That's what they say they want. And they got totalitarian government. This is the largest socialist push in the history of the United States. Our government spending to GDP has hit about 60 to 65%. I think another $450 billion this week, if I'm not mistaken. So, friends, this has been the move towards totalitarianism, and this is the only way to get it in America. We do it by crises. We don't do it by revolutions as the Marxists or the Bolsheviks did in the 1920s. We do it by crises. This is how you get totalitarian government. And it was no doubt an attempt to force Trump's hand. If he didn't get on board with the totalitarian plan, he would have lost face in world politics and national politics, and they didn't think he would respond with an enthusiastic endorsement of a worldwide shutdown, but it turned out he did. So it was a test for the president, and they were going after him. But when the first infections occurred in Washington State in February, within 1 week, the government should have done a sampling of 3,000 tests in the Seattle area, and they didn't do it. So it took, you know, all the way till the 1st of April before anybody got a data set. And that's where we are today. Our modern economies are lacking prudence and wisdom that comes out of a lack of the fear of God and an impulsive, irrational, debt-based, infantile society that's turned away from God. This is where we are today. The other thing that plays into this, of course, is the media and the internet anarchy. I don't know how to define this, but it's, I guess, Facebook confusion out there. There's millions of conspiracy theories, paranoias, hypochondrias. The cacophony of voices is deafening. You hear this?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like chaos out there.
Everything from this is the pandemic was an excuse so that they could put up 5G. You know, in all the schools, and the 5G melts their cells and makes us more submissive to this is a Russian hoax. This is a Chinese. Yeah. You know, it's just millions of them. Yes,
the cacophony of voices, absolutely overwhelming, my friends. People shouting incoherencies constantly. That's the way I would describe the news sites as a lot of people shouting incoherencies as loud as they can, and people interrupting each other, and nobody really caring what they're saying or what anybody's saying.
Right. And they're certainly not caring about the data. But you know, it's interesting. There's always a kernel of truth inside of every theory, you know, just enough to get you to bite on it and go, that's a possibility. Yeah. You know, it could be that aliens did really land at Roswell, you know, and they're spreading the virus. That's what happened. Yeah. Don't you know? Don't you know? Yeah.
Well, I think it comes back to Chesterton quote, when you don't believe in God, it's not like you don't believe in anything. It's that you'll believe anything whatsoever.
Yes.
And friends, that's where we are today. It's a result of the abandonment of God. The abandonment of God means the abandonment of truth. Hardly anybody really believes anything anymore. They'll believe something for 10 seconds and they'll move on to believe something else. And they'll shout something for 10 minutes, and then the next 10 minutes, they'll shout something else. This is where we are. But let's look at the basic facts. I think it's still important for us to understand whatever is true and whatever data we do have. The death rate is about 0.1%, the same as the flu. After 3 months, American deaths due to the COVID-19 virus have exceeded 42,000. Now, let's look at the flu. The CDC has the numbers for the flu each year from roughly 2010 to the present, and it averages at 42,333. So we're pretty much at the average right now for the, for a flu season. So that's, you know, now we're talking about some rational data.
Yeah.
And Bill, what's interesting is I just don't get this daily update and this daily comparison, to the denominator. I don't get this on the news sites. Why? Because it's irrational. It's all about the panic. It's all about creating a totalitarian state and looking to the government for solving your problems. That's the agenda. That's what they're doing. So after 3 months, we're at 42,000 deaths for the COVID-19. Last year, there were 61,000 deaths due to the flu. Now, do you remember them shutting down the worldwide economy last year, Bill? Do you remember a 28% unemployment rate, roughly March, April of 2019? Do you remember that, Bill? Do you remember how they responded with a $6 trillion totalitarian government funding of all of the industries in America last year? Did that happen, didn't it, with the flu virus?
I'm getting old. I don't have such a great memory.
Well, maybe,
but I do remember when they when they shut down, they lowered all the speed limits to 5 miles an hour to save lives because of traffic accidents. Because
was that last year?
No, it was back in 1905. That's as fast as cars could go at that time.
Oh, okay. All right.
So there were very few fatalities.
All right. After 3 months, friends, American deaths have exceeded 42,000. Now, we're not minimizing this. And we don't want to minimize the 62,000 that passed away due to the influenza last year. But friends, it's unfair to point out and to emphasize the one without an equal emphasis concerning the other. That's all we're saying, is that it is important for us not to be a preferrer of persons, as the Word of God takes it. We need to be good leaders, good pastors, good governors, good media leaders. And that's not what's happening in the rational world we're living in. Also, some people say, well, the quarantine may help, but Sweden didn't quarantine all of the well people. It's the one nation that didn't. And their incidence rate is lower than the UK and the US and Iceland and above and or about the same as their neighbors.
Yeah.
Norway and Denmark, about the same as Norway and Denmark. So, okay, there you go. Another data point. So, okay, take that one home too. And now, of course, the world economy is going into the biggest depression since 1933. The IMF is looking at a 7% drop on the GWP, the gross world product, a 7% drop from the 3% in 2019 down to -4% next year. Since World War II, only 1 year did the GWP see a drop. And that was 2009 when it went to -1.7. This is going to -4% this year, the worst since World War II, probably the worst since the Great Depression of 1933. Friends, we're looking at a world economy collapse. And people say, well, it's only a -4%. Friends, you're looking at an increase in the world population as well this year. And you're looking at massive starvations around the world. At least 265 million people are being pushed to the brink of starvation by the COVID-19 crisis. It's double the number under threat before the pandemic occurred. Estimates are that the average of 9 million people will starve to death as a result of the negative 4%. gross world product decrease in 2020.
Poverty kills more people than
you're disease. Looking at 9 million people. Now, I wonder if those in power stepped back and said, okay, we are going to shut down the world economy. We're taking away a man's millstone. Are we willing to kill 9 million people, jiggle the world economy such that the typical 9 million that die of starvation each year will increase to 18 million in 2020? Are we willing for this to happen? Now, granted, this is just an estimate, but friends, we're looking at a world that is vulnerable to these sorts of things. This, my friends, is one of the worst decisions I think that has been made in the history of modern governance. The fifth fact, by the way, is unhealthy people tend to go to the hospital. New study that just came out on New York City. Health records from 5,700 patients hospitalized with Northwell Health System, which housed the most patients in the country throughout the pandemic. They showed 94% of the patients had more than one disease. 94%. Obesity, hypertension, and diabetes. Those were the three. So, friends, these are the people that are taken to the hospital. Here, one more thing. One more fact. I think you can take this fact to the bank because I haven't seen this in the media. I have not seen this mentioned by the President of the United States or our governor. That is biblical law. Biblical law has been ignored. Yeah. It'd be refreshing if the Christian pastors would refer to this, but should you destroy the world economy and create massive starvation around the world by government shutting down an economy and keeping all the well people quarantined? Should you take away a man's millstone and take away his life? Deuteronomy 24:6. They didn't take Deuteronomy 24:6, the wisdom of God, into consideration when they took away the man's millstone and created a unemployment ratio of 25% and a decrease of the gross world product of 7% in the year 2020. Did they take Deuteronomy 24:6 into consideration? The obvious answer is, of course they didn't. Why? Because modern man has rejected God and they've rejected his law. Well, they've, you know, go on to kill another 7-8 million babies in this country. So, you know, 7-8 million babies killed, another 9 million dead of starvation while we shut down a world economy in order to, I guess, save 100,000 lives or whatever they're considering is important to save. But friends, taking biblical law and biblical wisdom into consideration, absolutely essential when it comes to matters like this.
It's the absurdity of this, the confusion that has reigned over the past couple of months is amazing. A friend of mine just sent me some concise and authoritative rules that we have been living by. For example, basically, you can't leave the house for any reason, but if you have to, then you can. Masks are useless, but maybe you have to wear one. It can save you. It is useless, but maybe it's mandatory as well. How about this one? Stores are closed, except those that are open. You should not go to hospitals unless you have to go there. Same applies to doctors. You should only go there in case of emergency, provided you are not too sick. The virus is deadly, but still not too scary, except that sometimes it actually leads to a global disaster. Gloves won't help, but they can still help. Everyone needs to stay home, but it's important to go out.
Yeah.
There's no shortage of groceries in the supermarket, but there may be many things missing when you go there in the evening, but not in the morning sometimes.
Yeah. I've seen this list. Yeah. It shows the irrationality of the essential, non-essential thing. And of course, Mike Ferris just came out with a very good article. We read it several days ago where constitutional attorney Mike Ferris, you know who he is, heads up Alliance Defending Freedom. And Mike Ferris came out with this article and said, you know, ultimately, this essential, non-essential distinction is totally arbitrary. Never stand up in a court of law. It will be struck down big time. These governors, the President of the United States, others who have made these arbitrary decisions are way off base, way, way, way off base. But, Bill, you know what it comes down to? It comes down to the relativism of the present mind. In other words, there is no absolute. There is no sense in terms of right and wrong, black and white. Everything's in the gray area. And so we laugh at this. I mean, that was a humor piece.
Yeah,
and
it was.
My family got a big kick out of it when I was reading it. But it turns out, you know, it's a sad, sad commentary on the modern mushy mind that is incapable of determining between what is true and what is not true.
Right.
And that, my friends, is being represented by your government today? Friends, the bottom line is God's giving them up to a debased mind. God's giving us up to craziness and arbitrariness when it comes to the civil magistrate. But let's close on this. I've been talking about facts. You know, 0.1% death rate, 42,000, about the same as the average death rate for the flu over the past 6 or 7 years, and so forth. But here's the most important fact to take home, and that is that God is in control, and God has reasons for all that is happening, and Jesus is head over all things to the church, and all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are all called according to his purpose. So cheer up, my friends. What man does foolishly, what man means for evil, God means for good. That's precisely what happened to Joseph's brothers. God turned it for good. And yes, there was a great deal of starvation going on in Egypt around that time where Jacob and the family came down, but it was for the good of God's people. It was for the preservation of the people of God. And friends, God is doing good in all of this. Take heart. He has humbled the Western world. What better thing could happen? 2019 is Pride Year. 2020 is Humble Year. Good news, Bill. 360 Pride marches and festivals have been canceled or postponed worldwide, according to the spreadsheet controlled by the European Pride Organizers Association of the World. Pride marches over. The Pride marches of 2019, the record Pride marches that brought tens of millions of people to the street to shake their fists in the face of Almighty God last year, gone, gone, gone. This is not Pride Year. This is not Pride Month. This is Humble Month. May our leaders call this Humble Month and acknowledge exactly what it is. This is the month. June will be the month to humble ourselves before Almighty God. And we pray that our president, the president of the United States, will acknowledge June of 2020 to be Humble Month, not Pride Month. Here's what God speaks in Ezekiel 16. As I live, says the Lord God, neither your sister Sodom nor her daughters have done as you and your daughters have done. They were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit. It's the haughtiness. It's the Pride Month that brought Sodom down. And that's what brought America down as well. May our leaders declare June to be Humble Month. They haven't learned this lesson. Get ready for something 10 times worse, a real threat to world safety, world economy, and world health. Friends, it's a shot across the bow. And I think the proper response is to humble ourselves, confess our sins, and turn back to God. And that should start in the church. That should start with us, first and foremost. Let's consider our transgressions, our sins. Let's acknowledge them. Let's confess them one to another. Let's confess them to God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. Well, friends, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. Let me encourage you to my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to better understand why the fall. Why the fall? What happened? What were the epistemological and cultural and political reasons for the fall that we're facing in 2020. I think this is pretty much summarized in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. That would be a helpful resource at this time in the game. Well, friends, you can interact with this program by emailing me at host@generations.org. You can hear the program anywhere in the world at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.